Welcome to today's coffee break, everybody. It's nice to have you here. And it's March 31st, the final day of this dreadful month in 2020. Yay! We made it. Agamotto, you've got a lot of background noise. You're going to have to deal with that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to keep your mic muted, just so you know. Guys, how's everybody doing today?
What are you eating?
Peanuts.
That's your lunch?
Yeah.
At least get chocolate covered peanuts or something like that. You know.
Too much sugar.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
But hey, you could dream about it anyway.
Yeah. But I got my coffee. I like this mug.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's ambiguous.
Like, not a slightest bit. No, not
it,
at all.
Is it saying, would you like a coffee? Or is it saying, no, this is actually a pint of beer? I mean, you just don't know.
Could be Irish coffee.
It could well be. Now, is it really a pint? I hate it when that happens.
Yes.
A pint? Is it really that large?
I'd say it's about two-thirds of a pint.
Wow.
Look at the camera.
So are you a Phantom of the Opera fan?
I am.
Back in the day?
I went to see Phantom of the Opera probably 10 years ago or so. This shirt is that old, and I will probably have to get me another shirt.
How many years did you play BP9?
I think probably 10 years ago.
Only 10? Okay. For me, it would have been, if I did some quick math, 25 years ago maybe.
Wow.
Give or take. Now, did you get to see,
theater here was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Than most theaters are. So it was a fairly...
Come in.
Yes, that was... Yes, enter.
I've heard that sound before.
Can you tell I'm a Trek fan? I think that was my phone.
No.
Oh, it wasn't? Was that you, Solbu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that your phone beeping?
No, it was not my phone.
Oh, no, that was mine getting text messages.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the same alert, so...
Oh, I love it.
I thought it was my phone as well.
Of course, nobody wants to talk to you doing this.
Yeah. My IRC client, Hexchat, I have set up a lot of sound for various things, and most of the sounds are Star Trek sounds.
Very cool.
I wanted to keep with the very brief, alert tone because that's what works really well. Otherwise, if you get lots of messages or they all string together, the whole thing just plays and then plays again and plays for like 15 minutes before you can look to see what's going on.
You guys know I now want to add a touch sensor to my door at the studio, right? So that it makes that sound anytime anyone's entering.
And don't forget to use the LCARS interface, the LCARS interface.
I don't know if it's actually usable. It's such a...
doesn't have to be.
Just
let it look as a display and just let anybody tap on it, and that would code beep beep to come up on the...
Okay.
That'll work, right?
I remember 5 or 7 years ago, I saw a YouTube video. I think it's still up. Someone has designed the LCARS touch system on a touch sensor hanging on a wall. And he had his entire music and video library on that. And he could launch a video, and he tapped a button, and the video started playing in the LCARS
nice.
on his TV. In the
I
living
love
room.
It.
My wife has got anything on the front door that I bought from Amazon for about £2. It's basically a magnetic sensor that shows the noise. You can hear the door be open because she's blind. And it was quite what it makes the dog go mad. The dog goes crazy of time to hear this.
Yeah.
I thought about getting a Ring video doorbell. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said the name. Sorry about that. But I'm just not sure that I want to do it now. Now Amazon owns it. So
it's okay. Until Wise kicks in and says, yeah, we're going to be a corporate sponsor, you can talk about Ring.
Oh, okay, okay. How is Wise involved?
Oh, they have their own door panels and everything now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I have one of their little cameras for looking out at my front yard for when kids try to do stuff with our cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. I love those.
I think the most ingenious use of smart technology was he demonstrated it on YouTube. He have a few cats, a few of them always comes. He has a cat door, and he didn't like all the cats coming in that didn't belong to him. So he had a chip in his cat, and the door recognized the cat. But then he got another problem, was that the cats started to come and go with a mice that he has killed. Because the cats show who good they are.
Oh, yes, the 5 a.m. presents.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the gift for the owner.
Yeah, but and then he solved it by having image recognition. So he had he found lots of pictures with cats with mice in their mouth, and it worked so well that cat never again came inside unless he dropped the mice and then stood and then it would open.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
nice. Okay.
Wow. And what did he do? Used a Raspberry Pi for that?
Yeah,
something like that. Okay. Because the Arduino wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't think it's powerful enough to be able to do image recognition.
But yeah, you'd need a pretty powerful. You need like an NPU, I would think. But hey, if you can do it with a Raspberry Pi alone.
There you go. There you go. So Robbie, you had questions about ham radio yesterday that you
were
following up on.
That's one of those technologies that I've never really gotten into.
Okay.
You guys seem pretty knowledgeable.
What specific question, or did you have additional questions that you wanted to learn more about? Was there something we didn't cover that you'd like to talk about?
You know, I didn't think I had any questions beyond it was an interesting discussion.
Okay, okay.
I like the thought of being able to kind of almost steampunk-esque migrate what I would consider to be older technology with newer technology.
Right.
So when you were talking about being able to use a ham radio through the internet, that's just like,
yes. Oh, this, yeah.
Like, I want to do it up like all steampunk because that's just,
oh, sure.
That's exactly that.
I guess most people that have images of ham radio think about the old spark sets and, you know, the old tube radios, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore.
Nowadays, they may look.
There you go.
Yeah. I have two of these.
Is that a Yaesu rig in your right hand?
This one is a PX888.
Okay.
And this one, other one is a Kenwood something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And they're dual band radios. Is that true? 2 meter and 440.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
At least one of them.
So, are you guys using those handheld things instead of the desktop? Guys with the tower in the backyard.
You
I have a tower system as well, but that is not ham radio. It's the 27 megahertz band, something.
That's citizen band, right?
7 or 9 meters tall.
I got a tower, probably, and 460-foot tower, and a 9-element antenna on HF, which is very, very big, which is about 40 feet long.
Wow.
It is very big.
So the answer to your question, Robbie, is that you can get into ham radio at any level you like.
Mm.
If you want to talk long distances, like Peter.
That's where that Peter where Peter's 60-foot tower comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. And if you want to talk local, or I would say local for 2 meter and 440 with those handheld radios that Solby was showing off. Mm-hmm. You can do that through a thing called a repeater. Most ham radio clubs have repeaters up on top of hills where they get good coverage, right?
And so you do that with these guys.
Yeah, you transmit to the repeater on one frequency, and it transmits back out again in real time on a different frequency, typically 600 kilohertz.
So depending on where you're standing, you want to choose which frequency you want to use.
Yeah. You pick the frequency.
First.
All at once now.
Yeah. I think BP9 first, then he can finish his.
That's fault. Okay. We need
a moderator to be like, okay, BP9, go.
That's your job.
I'm eating peanuts.
The frequency of the repeater.
I'm on coffee break.
Yeah, right. That's what this was.
That's awesome. All right.
You just pick the frequency of the repeater that you're closest to, that you can get the best signal into, and then whoever's listening on that repeater can respond to you.
Very cool.
And as I said yesterday, and
depending on where you're living, you can have multiple repeaters that you can contact.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, as we talked about yesterday, there are some technologies that let you connect repeaters over the internet to broaden your coverage.
And one interesting tidbit about ham radio is that last example was the Syrian civil war. And in North Iraq, when a war breaks out, one of the first things that often also breaks down is modern communication and telephones and internet, and also in the former Yugoslavia, when most of the country had no power for 5 years, ham radio was the way that they got access to the outside world.
Right.
We had a tornado go through an area about 40 miles away from here, and I volunteered to act as part of the emergency communication net that was set up to help keep things like community centers, churches, all these folks who were offering aid to the local community in the form of, cleaning kits and food packages, stuff like that. But they had no way to talk, so talk to each other. So we placed ham radio stations at strategic places so that they would all be able to talk to each other. They could coordinate getting supplies from one to the other that way.
Yeah, I remember the news said that they did that when Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans so many years ago.
Yep, absolutely.
When Jeff and I were in radio, we had repeaters for the radio station.
Right.
So I'm pretty familiar with how that works, because here we're regulated by the CRTC, so you can only put out so much power from each transmitter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if we wanted our radio station to be able to be accessed, an hour north of here, we'd have to put a repeater station up there, and so it would just work it would do exactly what you're describing with the ham radio. It would capture the signal through the airwaves and then rebroadcast it locally on a different frequency.
In Norway, it's the same system with the ham radio. There is a limit of how much power the amplifiers can use.
But now, Robbie, you're talking about a commercial station, correct?
I guess they were half commercial, they were a non-profit commercial station.
Right, but the point is that you had broadcasters or newscasters sitting at a desk with a microphone and playing music and talk shows and entertainment, that sort of stuff. As a ham radio or on ham radio, you don't get to play music that's copyrighted. You can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do anything, obviously, criminal. And you also can't. And you also cannot send anything that's encrypted. It has to be in the clear. I think I mentioned that yesterday. So there are some restrictions on what you can do. Say again.
How would you encrypt?
Well, there are data modes such as APRS, or packet radio hasn't been active for a while now, but APRS certainly is. And there are digital modes as well, such as D-Star, etc. They're all digital modes. They don't encrypt, but you can easily decrypt as well.
A very narrow one as well, which worked very well. I've used them on HF and got that across the USA on the radio power.
You're talking about
RTTY or so? No, I used RTTY, but there's another one, but I can't think of the name of it. But it is a very narrow bandwidth. It's got about 50-hertz bandwidth on it.
Yeah.
It's like a bit like blackout thinker in one way to send data like that.
Okay.
It's a new thing out. But it works quite well. It's very narrow, and it works very efficient with the noise and bouncing off the answer. It doesn't get any phase problems. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of
although they're digital signals, they're easy to decode and easy to display. And there is no encryption. You're not allowed to encrypt.
No end-to-end encryption?
Correct.
Nagamoto says the same thing. Correct.
I know I saw that. Yep.
Speaking of ham radio, one of the unofficial rules is that when you have a contact with someone that you haven't had contact with before, you have to exchange postcards, something called QR code.
QSL cards. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My old man has one of these cards from the deceased previous King Hussein of Jordan.
Oh, well,
40 years old car. And he was a big ham radio operator.
I worked him and the King of Spain as well. Never got caught out, both of them. And I think it's my brother who lived in Spain. Why don't I ask the King of Spain to give me my card? Jokingly, you know. I always think about that one. I never got it anywhere.
I have not worked anyone quite so important. So
the one I worked with, Walter Quantai. You know Walter Quantai. I worked Walter Quantai on the digital boat once. And I was so fantastic. And I was absolutely bowled over the moon when I found out who he was.
Nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. Wasn't it? And he died after that, so it was quite 9 months or so.
So, Robbie, what you were describing yesterday, where you were thinking it'd be nice to have a single frequency that we could, that just half a dozen of us could talk on, that's a commercial
frequency.
Yeah, that's a commercial thing. That you would have to purchase the rights to use frequency. And set up a repeater and all that. That's not cheap. That gets expensive. So So just watch out for that. But you can have it. You can afford it.
There's a couple of frequency range that is open for anyone to use. But there's the 27 megahertz, and there's two others.
FRS as well, Family Radio Service.
Yeah.
Up there on. Family Radio. So, yeah, I'm there. My phone threw up an alert because I'm down to 20% battery on the phone. Sorry about that. I forgot what I was going to say now. FRS. It's a Family Radio Service, but it is open as well, and there are limits to how high, how powerful your transmitter can be. it can't be more than like a watt or something. So you won't get a lot of distance out of that. Yeah.
So does FRS work as like a group chat, essentially?
It can do. You have, I believe it's 20, I want to say 40 channels, but I'm not sure about that. But each one, you can set a tone. You can set a tone. It's called a subaudible tone, so that the radio will only work when it hears that tone. But that's not privacy. That's not really privacy, because anyone who sets their tone or even turns off the tones can hear all the transmissions. So don't think that that's private. It just means that you're being selective about who to talk to.
Robbie, I have a word with Roy W. Nash here to tell you about Echo Link as well, because me and W. Nash was on Echo Link. That's our gratitude to you, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, Roy W. Nash, I know Roy. Yeah. So have a word with Roy W. Nash sometime. We come across him again. I've talked to him for a very long time. We're about the same. We are the same age, I think, almost. I think I'm about to be old.
Whereabouts is Roy located, Peter?
Midlands of England.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Roy's one of our gents who take care of the newsroom for us.
So yes, I see his credits. I see him in the credits every day.
Yep. Yeah, he's been volunteering with the show for many years.
Very nice. Very
nice. Yeah, I've sometimes been wondering who that is.
Yeah. Well, now, so Peter, do you know him in person?
I used to know him, but we got out. We used to run the Echo Link, but I was having local problems. So I basically told them if they didn't play the game, because they were abstracting their life, my life condition, and I told them that. And then we lost, me and Roy W. Nash lost contact. We did have a contact once with you, and you told me to not mention his name at that time. I did hello, Roy, you know, and you knew who I was, but that's about the last time, about a year or so ago, but it was about a year or so ago, I can't really remember, but it was a few years ago, let's say, probably about 8 years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, the last time I talked to Roy. I don't even know if he's still well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard from him recently, like, because we correspond over the newsroom. So I was talking to him about the fact that we were moving the studio because there was no point in him continuing working while we were offline. So so he's been apprised to all that. But, well, guys.
He'll have lots of news items to give you when you start broadcasting again.
What a news month it's been, hasn't it? And I wish you all just the safety and good health. March has been a heck of a month for everyone,
I have some good news.
Okay,
I saw an article today in one of the.
We got to wrap up, Solbu.
Yeah, on Saturday and today, there is new cases of the outbreak, but it is no longer increasing. So it is. They have hope that it is actually maybe going down soon.
Yeah, and I just saw an article too about how they discovered the infection mechanism.
Guys, we got to close down our coffee break for today. Have a wonderful afternoon. Continue the conversation if you like over in our Discord server. I just really, really quickly, we have 43 minutes left to our Kickstarter campaign. So this is our final push. So let people know on social media what's going on with the show. And let's see how far we can push this thing in the next 40 minutes or so. All right. Have a great day, everyone. And I will see you again tomorrow.
Yeah,
bye. Thanks, Robbie. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you all later.
Bye.